And welcome back to Very Happy This Week on Channel 9. This is our last episode of the year, and we thought we'd do things a little different. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
Yeah, we thought we'd go back and review, what are these, the top 9-ish things that you should have caught in 2013?
Yeah, if you're a developer, here is our year-end recap of the most important things, the things you need to care about as a developer.
Let's jump right into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, Visual Studio and TFS 2013 released.
Yes.
This was big. Of course, we released the last prior version of this in 2012. So right on the heels of that, we had all of the continuous updates coming out. Visual Studio 2012 is up to update 4 already. And then, of course, Visual Studio 2013 and TFS 2013 came out. We had the big launch party back in November. Lots of good stuff in here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you name it, the area. There's big investments in diagnostics tools. Like, I love the... If you're targeting Windows 8.1 applications and you want to see, like, literally see which methods are going to kill your battery, we have tools to do that and diagnose what are the battery draining methods.
That's right. So we added a lot of new capabilities to TFS around Git source control options being available now. We've got a lot of goodness in terms of ASP.NET, the ability for you to kind of debug multiple browsers in real time and make edits both in the browser and in Visual Studio and watch those kind of cascade. A lot more than we want to cover here, but if you're not
huge
already using 2013, be sure to check it out.
Huge investments in Visual Studio 2013 and a must add.
Yes, and speaking of a must add, you have to go get the productivity power tools. This is the number one download on the Visual Studio Gallery, and it's now available for 2013. Lots of additional good stuff in here.
Yeah, so a couple of my favorites is, you have a lot of tool windows in Visual Studio. Click on a title for a tool window, automatically opens up full screen, so you can see all the details, maybe a log file. Double click it, goes back to exactly where it was. So it's not like Shift Alt Enter where like you want to see one window and it's only code view. Now you can get that same experience. A couple other things, presenter mode.
Yes.
Present on, off, and you can change a little metadata file if you want to change that. Absolutely love that one.
So that'll change your font sizes and everything.
Yeah. Timestamp and output window. Timestamp and output is such a little thing. I love it. It's already automatically built in. There's so many other ones to get to that it's pretty sweet in terms of what we're doing for the power tools.
Right on. And some of the 2012 power tools were actually incorporated into 2013 in the box now. So things like the scroll bar view and the ability for you to move lines around more easily. I think that was a new one that was added in 2013. So we like to use the power tools as a way to kind of test the market, get your feedback, and then eventually a lot of these make their way directly into the product.
Absolutely.
And how could we forget Visual Studio Online?
So we are not just a client development tool, and obviously we've been server development tool with TFS Server. We're now in the services world.
That's right. We're hosting your TFS in the cloud for you. We're also giving you a lot of other goodness with Visual Studio Online. We had Chris Diaz on. He showed us Monaco, the cloud-based kind of code editor, if you will. We also have the ability for you to roam your settings from one VS 2013 machine to another. So I sign in at home, I make a change to my environment, I go to work, and that change is automatically cascaded, assuming I want that to happen. I can configure that, of course. And just a whole lot of new stuff in here. Application Insights is something that we'll be talking more about. But you're just going to continue to see more and more of these finished developer services available in the cloud from Microsoft that you can sign up for really in a matter of seconds and get started with.
This is awesome. Yeah. Love it.
Don't forget the MSD and Azure allowance.
Yeah, so this is probably one of the biggest things where we see people, like, every month you get $50 to $150, depending on your level of MSD and subscription, $150 being the ultimate, of course, that you can use for anything. So, for example, hey, look, we need to spin up a remote desktop to test something. Let's spin up a remote desktop to test and use the MSDN image. So the fastest, easiest way to actually, if you're an MSDN subscriber, to try Visual Studio 2013, spin up that remote desktop and the virtual machine image, remote desktop in. And in fact, it's a great way to code if you have a Surface, where you don't necessarily, if you're on RT, you remote desktop in, you actually have a coding environment. And when you're done, you can turn that virtual machine on and off.
But that's right. We should say that these can be used on any Azure resources, but only for dev and test. So when you actually move into production, you will have to pay for those outside of your MSDN credits. But gosh, $150 a month, that gets you a lot of dev test resources.
Yeah, whether it's load testing, I mean, you name it in terms of the amount of resources, SQL databases, whatever you want to do. So it's pretty awesome. And it's one of the least used of the MSDN benefits.
That is, yeah. I find that a lot of people have it and they don't even know that they can go activate it. So go sign up today.
Go sign up.
OneASP.net. You know, we've traditionally had a lot of different aspects of ASP.net. Can kind of be confusing. Do I start with MVC? Do I start with web forms? What is OneASP.net?
It's it's sort of the decision. There isn't like I'm a web forms developer or an MVC developer. I like routing, but I'm in web forms, so I can't do this, or I have this feature and I can't use that. So what things can we do to sort of bring them all together, whether it's authentication, routing, whatever the features are, and really making that seamless in the product. So you do file new, there's one option for ASP.NET, and you can select kind of what features that you want.
Yeah, and if you select web forms today and you want to go turn on MVC scaffolding later, you can do that as well.
Yeah, I love the ability, and really the ASP.NET teams have been doing awesome stuff. Damian Edwards and SignalR is pretty awesome, and even web API. So folks who are doing WCF before, the stuff we're delivering with Web API 2 just makes it so much easier to do REST endpoints.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
And you see BrowserLink being built on top of SignalR technology, so that's really, really
and
cool.
And BrowserLink's just another, probably one of my favorite Visual Studio features just because of the amount of things that it does. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. TypeScript, of course, for you web developers out there. TypeScript is really gaining a lot of popularity out there for building, massively scalable JavaScript applications. Another good example of an application that was built with TypeScript actually would be Monaco itself.
Right.
So Monaco being the Azure Websites-based cloud editor, and then Napa is an instance of Monaco as well. So when you're doing cloud editing in SharePoint and Office Online, then you're actually using behind the screens TypeScript. Any other interesting things you've seen created with TypeScript?
I'm not sure if we can actually disclose one, but you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, okay.
That one's cool. SkyDrive uses it as well for more like internal uses, and Visual Studio Online, of course.
Actually, I have no idea which one you're talking about, so you'll have to fill me in after the show.
Okay, good. I'm just trying not to get fired.
How did this make it in here, Dan? This is cross-platform and open source. This doesn't belong in a Microsoft roll-up.
What? So I think this is huge. One is, you know, where do we start? Probably open source and Microsoft. Give the ASP.NET team kudos in terms of how much they've been open sourcing their frameworks.
With contributions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just a huge thing, open source and Microsoft. And there's another group called MS OpenTech as well. And instead of, say, building our own projects, sometimes we do additions, like we talked about, for example, like the Cinder libraries, which is a C++ library for doing, you know, very rich graphical applications. We did Cinder to make Miss Cinder work on RT, for example.
Okay.
Other stuff, of course, they are contributors to Apache Cordova to make sure that if you are in Apache Cordova or PhoneGap, sometimes
previously
it's
PhoneGap,
called,
yep,
allows you. I'm writing JavaScript and I have this sort of least common denominator view of things that a phone device can do. So I have JavaScript APIs for that, and now that HTML and JavaScript has been abstracted out by the JavaScript, which, you know, does the native part and is now cross-platform.
Right. Similar approach to what Unity does for games. So the ability for you to write code that is common across most of the game platforms and then just do your platform-specific extensions. So about 90% of your code can be shared across all these different platforms, whether that's Windows Store, Windows Phone, Xbox, you know, all these different platforms that Unity supports. And then we also, of course, have the ability for you to share all those assets across, which is oftentimes the most expensive part of creating any game.
Mm-hmm.
And then back in November, we announced a partnership with the Xamarin guys
that
MSDN
Miguel,
subscribers can get good discounts on getting access to their Mono tools and being able to write code that goes across those, Mono develop, that is, that goes across platforms as well.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is there, like, one, it's a partnership, and we want to make sure, like, we know our customers are building libraries and they're targeting other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So what things could we do, for example, to have portable library support? So your core libraries, your core logic can work across all those. And yes, some of the GUI stuff is going to be vendor specific, but having that core base of your logic be able to work across all is obviously a goal that everyone wants.
That's exactly right. So next up we have Application Insights. And so Application Insights really gives you this great monitoring and analytics solution for your running application. So what we do is we collect all the data for you in the cloud.
Right.
But what's really unique about this approach is that we actually tie that back into the application lifecycle as well. So for example, if I'm looking and I notice that my site is no longer available at the SLA that I'm expecting it to be, I can see, it's because Dan just checked in some code.
What?
Every time he does that, things just go down. So I need to pull back his permissions.
Yeah, you know, and while App Insights is in a preview, like, we kind of left this as one of our last ones because it's really, I think, going to be something that changes. So when you start thinking about Microsoft, hey, it's not just like everything up to publishing your application is where we stop. The goal is now we're moving that life cycle and saying, you now have something in production. Mm-hmm. What are the things that we can do to monitor your application that you didn't know before and see user behavior to help in sort of that next step in the ALM workflow?
Yeah, and I could go on and on about application insights. We'll have a lot more to share next year, but it's not just for production either. You can use these same systems to monitor your dev and test environments so that when you do see something that starts to go awry in production, you can say, aha, I saw that actually 2 weeks ago in test. Let me replicate it, and we know how to fix that issue. So lots of really cool stuff coming out, which brings us to...
Picks of the Week! So my pick of the week is the Kinect for Windows V2. So this is kind of a future one, but they just recently announced their developer program, which is open to 500 people. There is a cost with this, but you get access to the Kinect for Windows engineering team, the SDK, API samples, obviously the sensor. It's the pre-release version of the sensor, I should say. And at launch next summer, you do get the final sensor. So
okay.
You get the pre one now to play with, and then the final release one later. So tons of stuff to play with them, whether they call their Real Vision library, where you can even see things like if somebody's off balance, like you know you're dancing or something.
Sure.
Real Motion, where you just see even like the slightest move of your hand. You can actually be able to track that and do something with it. And of course, the wonderful features of the microphone array.
Excellent.
With Real Voice.
Excellent. So my pick of the week is a bit unusual. You mentioned a couple weeks on the show
sure.
that I'm a proud new dad.
Yes.
We're loving it. And I just wanted to share this for folks that out there that might be using an app to plan to track their contractions.
Okay.
Right? For those of you that aren't parents yet, it's very important that you time the contractions and understand how far apart they are. So at 1 a.m. on November 29th, my birthday, and my son's due date, my wife wakes me up and she goes, we need to start timing these contractions. So of course, great, I have my app
There's
standing
an app
by.
For that.
It's been on my phone for like 6 months, and I start timing the contractions, right? And so we're trying to figure out what do we need to take to the hospital, we need to call the doctor, yada, yada. And all of a sudden, I look at the app and I realize the math they're using to actually calculate the contraction distance between contractions is wrong. Instead
really?
Of dividing by n minus 1, they actually divide by n. So all my math is all screwed up. And I'm like trying to troubleshoot this, and she's yelling at me that we need to go to the hospital. I'm like, wait, I got to file a bug. So anyway, long story short, test the apps that you plan on using in these life or death situations, because I found the bug. The good news is the company agreed to fix it right away. So hopefully other people won't be impacted, but learn from my mistake.
Yeah, so I guess that's unit testing for contractions?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Great,
yeah,
great. I'll be your mock object. It'll be great. So, Brian, thanks again, and congratulations again.
Thank you very
Wonderful
much.
Wonderful year.
Happy holidays, and
we will
and happy
see you
new
all
year.
Next year.
Yeah.